Good morning and welcome. Hour number three begins. It is 8:06 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. A lot of focus today on crime and Trump taking action. Federales taking over D.C. So part of the theme this morning. And joining us right now, Gilchrist County Sheriff Bobby Schultz. Sheriff, good morning. How you doing?
And if I was any better, I'd be Greg Cassidy.
Wow, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. just kidding, his mom listens, so yeah. Greg's a good guy.
Yeah, thank you.
Let me ask you about this. What do you think about the feds in D.C., the action that Donald Trump is taking? Is it a good move?
Well, I have mixed reaction to that. I mean, unfortunately, Washington, D.C. has forced the president into doing something that he probably doesn't even want to do, is basically putting troops up there. But, you know, if he's taken over the local police and the federal police there and the District of Columbia folks, it's just sad that they got to that point. I visited D.C. on numerous occasions, and to say it's a mess and dangerous would be an understatement. So, you know, kudos to him for doing what he did and being decisive, but it's just really sad.
And you know, it's one thing to get the criminals off the streets, and I bet you they'll be highly effective in that, I think. But if a bunch of them are youth offenders, hasn't the issue been that they're not able to punish them because of some of the, you know, laws and rules and statutes that they've passed there in Washington, D.C., the city council? Can Trump override that? Do you know the answer?
I don't know the ins and outs of the District of Columbia and what their rules are and the laws, but, you know, they could take a playbook out of the Governor DeSantis' plan, is because he has taken steps to strengthen the laws when it comes to youthful offenders. Here in Florida, for the past number of years, you know, we look at these, they're kids and they deserve a chance. You do six burglaries and you still don't have to do any time, and there's no repercussions or nothing to counter your actions, of course they're going to keep up. All you're doing is groaning society of idiots who think that they can do what they want, when they want, how they want. So hopefully that Pam Bondi and the groups up there in D.C. will look at how we do things, mirror it. And we ain't perfect, but our youthful offenders are not getting away with what they used to. And sometimes, you know, you've got to do what you got to do, no matter how young they are. They're committing a crime. There has got to be consequences.
Yeah, I mean, look, the pendulum has kind of swung back and forth through the decades, as you know. You don't want a kid who's on a path to go to college. You know, it used to be, you know, they get locked up for a joint or two, and that would be like, wow, you don't want that kid in the system, mm-hmm. man. You want him to move forward with his life. But now we see these crimes we're seeing now are violent crimes perpetrated by 14, 15, 16, carjackings, robberies, beatings, rapes. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Grady Judd said a while back when we was having the riots. We know the difference between a person making a mistake, and I think our judicial system is good with that. And there's a big difference in, you know, letting someone who makes a mistake work within the framework to get better and to make things whole again. But if you have the same child or the same group doing the same thing day in, day out for 3 or 4 years, and they get the perpetual slap on the wrist, you are doing nothing but making things worse, and you're just educating and really not doing the kid a service, because I can't tell you how many people I've arrested that they were 14, 15, 16, and they go to juvenile justice. Things would happen. They'd be back on the street with relatively soon. They turn 18, that magical time. All of a sudden, the same thing that got them released back to their parents gets them 5 years in prison. So it's tough love, but it's time. Again, Florida don't have all the answers, but I can tell you we're ahead of the curve. We're well above where we were. And I think if some of these cities and states would look at what we're doing, I think it's reasonable. I think it's prudent, and I think we're definitely heading and trending in the right direction.
With the securing of the border that Donald Trump brought to the table as soon as he took office, pretty much, how has that impacted you in the local community, in a rural area, in terms of drugs, drugs flowing, drug arrests, things like that?
Well, I do believe when they secured the border, it got up. You know, there was already enough meth and fentanyl in our country to go for a while. But my humble opinion is while we have drugs in Gilchrist County, we haven't seen quite the flow because we know that our drugs comes directly from Mexico or the border. And we still have it, obviously. But I think when you're talking to some of these offenders and these folks that they are going to jail, it's gotten a lot harder to find. And that's the beginning. And that's where we should be at this point on our way to doing the best we can to eliminate that process for them to get it. And that funnel that's coming from Mexico and from Canada.
Oh yeah, well, and there's stuff probably coming from Venezuela now that a lot of their gang members and stuff were able to get across the border during the Biden administration. So we've got to deal with that, and that's just another narco state under Maduro and the Mexican president. She doesn't. She seems less and less helpful. You know, as the days go by. Let me bring it back to this, because some of these illegals are operating, you know, like gangs, or, you know, they are gangs. Do you have an issue with gangs in Gilchrist County?
We do not have an issue with gangs. Do I believe that we probably have some here? Absolutely. Are they operating in the capacity that you think that they would, you know, large scale drug operations or other felonious organizations? I don't believe so, but they certainly, we have a history of people with gang affiliations coming through our county. You figure, you know, we're between Atlanta and Orlando and Tampa, so they got to travel and they've got to have pit stops. But the short answer is we haven't seen any issues with gangs from there, but I'm confident that they're tentacles reach into Gilchrist County.
Do you think you have the tools to continue to, you know, get the job done in Gilchrist County? I mean, one of the things I know other operations talk about is, you know, tag readers and how helpful they have been. Do you have those in the sheriff's office?
We're actually in the process of getting them. You know, I'm kind of a guy that's kind of old school, and then I look at things as constitutional to the best of my ability. I'm not a constitutional attorney, obviously, but it is a tool. And in North Florida, I would probably say the vast majority of the counties and the municipalities have them, and you are able to better track things. You are better able to investigate and know who's who and who's coming into your county. It helps with the traffic, and it helps with, again, investigations, integral investigations, and it's shared. It's information that's shared basically throughout the state. But yeah, the trend and technology, while I have some reservations, a lot of reservations about it, if you don't get on board, then you're truly not doing everything that you can to protect your citizens, and which they, in my case, they elected me to do. And you just got to figure out and walk that tightrope of what you believe is constitutional and those things aren't. But the license plate readers, LPRs, are a good tool, and yes, we will be implementing them in the near future.
Well, we always appreciate a conversation with you. Gilchrist County Sheriff Bobby Schultz, just keep fighting the good fight and stay safe, and keep all your deputies safe.
Listen, when people like you and Greg have in our sticks, we have nothing but good times in front of us, and thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you, Sheriff. All right. We've got a lot more to talk about coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Is it a good move? President Trump unleashing the Fed, so to speak, on Washington, D.C. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. It's 8:21 right now. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Just had a great chat with Gilchrist County Sheriff Bobby Schultz. If you missed it for some reason, we know you're busy. We like to make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcast. Have every minute, every issue on demand in one place. Now free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, including Apple, Spotify, or iHeart. Just hit subscribe. So, yeah, one of the big stories is unleashing law all over Washington, D.C. President Trump, great talk yesterday all about it, and even, you know, broke it down to some of the anecdotal stories of people, you know, being attacked, murdered on the street, carjackings. And he said, he goes, you know, all these people in this room, you've all seen it or experienced it firsthand. And who echoed that? ABC News anchor Kira Phillips. She just happens to be also married to John Roberts, Fox News. But on Monday, she recounted a harrowing encounter that she had with a half-dressed homeless man who mugged her in downtown D.C. As she noted that many in the nation's capital are experiencing crime firsthand, despite what official statistics may show. She said, I can tell you firsthand, here in downtown D.C., where we work, right here around our bureau, just in the past 6 months, there were two people shot. One person died literally two blocks down here from the bureau. Wow. It was in the last 2 years that I actually was jumped walking just two blocks down from here. And then just this morning, one of my coworkers said her car was stolen a block away from here. We can talk about the numbers going down, but crime is happening every single day because we're all experiencing it firsthand as we, those of us who try to work and live down here. And, she reported on President Trump's decision to place the city's police department under federal control and deploy National Guard troops in the streets. She later described her encounter with the mugger as scary as hell. She interviewed D.C. U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro. So I was jumped just two blocks from here, she said. It was not a minor. And it happens to a lot of people in our building. And she went on to talk about that. And Trump, when he came out yesterday from the podium, I mean, he said, we've been overtaken by violent gangs, bloodthirsty criminals, roving mobs of wild youth, drugged out maniacs, and homeless people. At first, I thought he was talking about Congress. But now, the president vowed that this administration is not going to let it happen anymore. And when he says it, that's the thing. This is a guy that's going to follow it up with action. He's going to remove homeless encampments from all public places, including parks and underpasses. And, yeah, I think it's absolutely the right way to go. I do, though, take the kind of the caution of kind of approach that it seemed like, Sheriff Bobby Schultz, you know, you hate to kind of see that have to happen. That's the thing. Like, you know, you'd rather have it to where you have effective law enforcement. And look, you can't hope that your law enforcement is effective if it's not followed up with, you know, good, you know, district attorneys and meeting out from judges strong sentences. Otherwise, we know what happens. It's the same group of criminals commit, 90% of the crimes. So everybody, if they're being honest, knows the score. They just can't speak out, apparently, if they're Democrats, because that just might give Trump a little bit of credit. And for whatever reason, they can't allow that to happen. Trump derangement syndrome, for sure. All right. So, yeah, they claim that data, that the crime has gone down. It's clear they're screwing with the numbers to try to make the picture look a little bit better. Trump touched on that a little bit, too. Somebody admitted that they were being pressured to change the numbers at one point. Now, we know it. We know what's going on. So it is sad that Trump has to take that kind of action. But look, he is a strong president. And when he tells you he's going to address an issue, he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to halfway do it. He's going to do it completely. So And we hope that it turns out well. Get rid of the bad guys.
Sure.
You know, make neighborhoods safe for the people that live there, whether they voted for Trump or not. And that's his attitude. He is a president for all the people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to say. You wish some of these lefty folks would just open your eyes and open your heart just a little bit.
Yeah.
And quit listening to your lunatic friends, so-called friends.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Tell your friends that you want to be open-minded now, and you're going to start listening and watching other things. And watch how all of a sudden what you thought were your friends disappear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
They'll ghost you in a heartbeat, man.
Yeah.
Yep. You even show an inkling.
Ask Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh. And remember, you better not raise a flag in your front yard with those people.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, because they will point at you and they go, oh, that's one of those people.
Uh-huh.
I'm not exaggerating, not one bit.
Nope.
8:27 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And, man, we've got a lot of headlines, a lot of information to get to. Well, let me do that. It's right around the corner next on 97.3 The Sky. Eight 8:34 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Good morning and welcome. Yep, it's a Trash Talking Tuesday thanks to Florence Recycling. President Trump, yep, he is going to use the National Guard. And some Democrats, they're criticizing him. No.
What? Come on.
Shocker headline again.
Wow.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore, former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, Congressman Glenn Ivey, all Democrats, of course, criticized Trump's move, of course. And during the press conference, Trump also revealed that he was officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act and that the Metropolitan Police Department would be placed under direct federal control. President Trump's decision to mobilize the National Guard to conduct municipal policing in D.C. lacks seriousness and is deeply dangerous. That is what the Maryland governor, Wes Moore, said in a statement. He said, as someone who has served overseas in uniform and is commander-in-chief of the Maryland Guard, I take now when and why we deploy members of our armed forces personally and seriously. When he says that the Trump plan lacks seriousness, I don't think anything could be further from the truth. I think it shows just how serious he is. So, I think that this is just this guy is politically posturing, and not to his advantage, but don't tell the Democrats that. Let him keep doing and saying the stupid things they are. Moore continued to claim that Trump's actions lacked both data and a battle plan, and accused the president of using honorable men and women as pawns to distract us from his policies. Really? And that's why recruitment numbers have been through the roof, because people want to be used as pawns to distract from politics. Again, here's another Democrat and saying statements that are 180 degrees opposed to the actual truth, and they just do it for political posturing. All right, let's go to the Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines in Rosebud. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Bob. I hope you can hear me okay. I just want to make a couple comments. I heard our sheriff, you know, and I've been here and in Trenton, and you know, there's a big difference, you know, crime in like these big cities. Well, they, you know, like they downsize the police forces. They make it so it's not a crime to use under $1,000 for the youths to go steal stuff out of stores. Well, what do they expect? It's just a push to a lawlessness in some of these bigger cities. Well, back in the old days, we had, I don't know, Tallahassee or somewhere, decided that we had a youth problem in the state of Florida. Young, under 18, had a youth problem. So they built, it was called Lancaster Youth Development Center. Right over here, outside of Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
No chain link fences to hold the little youths in. And they had one kid was 12 years old, he killed somebody. But they were bringing them in from Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, you know, the big cities, and bringing them here and trying to rehabilitate them in dormitories. were no fences. But they had the big plan, a 20-foot dirt. They disc it around like the 600 acres. So if the Utes were sleepwalking and left their dormitory in the middle of the night, which they got to where it was doing a lot, and they would know where they, which way they went because they see the tracks across the fresh dirt all the time, and the bloodhounds would be chasing them. And it was a fun time around here because everybody left their keys in their cars and trucks and everything, and no one locked our houses. I mean, it was just a fun time to have the little Utes out running a little escapade, working the bloodhounds to bring them back in. And finally, somebody got the bright idea. We better put a chain link fence around this joint. But, you know, it's been this bleeding heartness. And, I mean, kids do something stupid. I've done stupid stuff. You know, all my friends done stupid stuff. We had to own up to it. And luckily, we had, you know, people that cared about us and got us all straightened out. And, you know, which with the help from my preacher and God was the biggest factor. And my elderly old preacher straightened a lot of us out in our churches. But today, where is it? No churches, no preachers to help anybody, nothing but the liberal mindset to let them do it and have lawlessness in the cities because that's what we want, the chaos everywhere. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm old. But now at least we got, in the state of Florida, we got Governor DeSantis and we got that Attorney General. I mean, he's cracking on the ball now. This guy is running wild. And I just wanted to make him comments, you know, because I go to bed at 9:30, so I don't know what's going on in Trenton at night, you know. But I'm glad we got a good sheriff over there in a big jail. And thank God I live here in God's country, Trenton, Florida. Thanks for letting me ramble a little bit there, Bob. You people have a nice day, and God bless America.
No, God bless you, Rosebud. And always a little history lesson there. I didn't know Lancaster started out as a for youths. So, see, I learned something new. Good morning, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Bob. President Trump's idea to federalize temporarily the Washington Metropolitan Police Department is as pragmatic as it is politically brilliant. And I used to live in D.C. when I was a federal law enforcement officer back 10 years ago. And he's correct. It's the nation's capital. It should be the showcase to world leaders. It's an embarrassment. You have certain areas that are wonderful and beautiful, like the monuments. You have other areas that's just urban decay. So it's pragmatic because what he's doing now is the laws that are being enforced, it's not going to go, like the sheriff was saying, under the local laws. It's going to be federalized. So they're going to be doing hard time in federal prison, and it's going to be above the laws. They're going to be having assistant U.S. attorneys prosecuting these cases that local district attorneys won't prosecute or can't prosecute because of the laws that they have there. So that's going to send a shockwave. And then the politically brilliant part is Trump has made inroads in the African-American community and the Hispanic community. If he can clean up an urban area, nobody wants the crime gone more than those that live there and are impacted by it, which in the case of Washington, D.C. and most urban areas are the African-Americans and Hispanics. He is going to win even more people in the next election when hopefully Vance will win. But I mean, in the midterm, if he can clean this thing up, it's politically brilliant. And that's why the Democrats are speaking in hyperbole, because they are very afraid that if he is effective as he is in D.C., as he was on the border, it's going to pose political problems for them in the midterms.
Well said, Jerry. Love it. You covered the bases there. Davis, Gainesville, Chevrolet Skylines, and Jeff, you're on.
Hey, Rosebud mentioned Lancaster. We knew a kid when we were kids, and that was, you know, 50 years ago or 45 years ago, and he never got better. And then I started thinking, what's the ratio of rehabilitation where it actually works? And then I thought, jail isn't for rehabilitation. It's so that you might realize you like it less than jail than to be in jail. It's a place to hold horrible people. And if it does good you being there and you finally realize, great, it doesn't have anything to do with rehabilitation. They're animals. God bless America.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Well, I look, it's not a one-size-fits-all. And but that's why, you know, if you have good local law enforcement yep. working hand in glove with the you know, the DAs and mm-hmm. stuff, and you look at these things and you get an arrest and you look at the person's track record and you say, you know, is this really otherwise a pretty good kid who got off on the wrong track? Let's get him back on track. Mm-hmm. Or is this a kid who's clearly not learning their lessons? You know, three times, you know, they have clearly broken the law. They don't seem to be a bit remorseful. They don't have much of an infrastructure, say, at home. You know, the parenting is maybe not there. So, yeah, you got to treat them differently. As far as rehabilitation, that's always been kind of the argument. I mean, people do stints in prison. Yeah, I mean, you want to do everything you can to try to rehabilitate. You can't force them, but
right.
you can, in most places, gain a skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And you come out with that, and so you have a fighting chance to, you know, make a living and not return to criminal activity.
At the local level, the frustrating part, you got to feel sorry for the cops and law enforcement. They're doing their job, but you get some of these DAs who won't prosecute cases. The courts are full. They've got to decide what will or won't get pushed through. And then you got these judges who, unfortunately, and the cops know who they are not going to actually do anything. They see the same people over and over and over again, and that's the frustrating part.
Then you've got the race baiters out there, like Congressman James Clyburn of South Carolina.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for him to say something stupid, and, mm-hmm. and he loves to harken back to this Jim Crow thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Him and Biden used to try to use that all the time. He reacted to the federal takeover of the D.C. police and deploying of the National Guard by saying, I said that Project 2025 is Jim Crow 2.0, and I can tell you right now exactly what is going to happen in so many of these instances because it's all right there. If you look at the history books, you see it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Making the city streets safe for everyone, regardless of skin color.
Uh-huh. What a concept, huh?
Yeah. So that everyone, every law-abiding citizen can have a chance to live in a peaceful and safe environment. It's for everyone, Mr. Clyburn.
Yeah.
But I guess you still got that political hackery that you just feel forced to engage in because you just won't give up power. Maybe that's why you're 110 and you're still sucking off the government teat with your government gig.
Yeah, pretty much.
8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here as well. A ton of stuff to get to next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. It's 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. And I want to give you a tropical weather update brought to you by Radiant Credit Union. We'll keep an eye on Tropical Storm Aaron, because even though it's a million miles from here right now, a lot of spaghetti models have it pointed in our general direction. So, and they believe this very well could become the first major hurricane of the 2025 Atlantic hurricane season. It's already caused at least 7 deaths in the Cabo Verde Islands off the coast of Africa. So the National Hurricane Center said maximum sustained winds right now, Tropical Storm Aaron remained at 45 miles an hour with some higher gusts. And it is located about 560 miles west, northwest of the Cabo Verde Islands, moving off to the west at 22 miles an hour. This motion is expected to continue for the next several days, gradual slowdown in forward speed, and a turn to the west-northwest. But still very early on, it looks like you could see it impacting maybe Puerto Rico as early as Sunday, late Saturday, early Sunday. Again, depends on forward speed, etc. But it could be headed in our general direction, if you will, and that's why we keep you up to date with what's going on. They expect it to strengthen and become a hurricane in the next few days. The latest forecast track shows Aaron moving north of Puerto Rico by this weekend with gradual strengthening. Of course, Aaron could become the first major hurricane of the hurricane season if it reaches Category 3. And that's sustained winds of over 111 miles an hour. The early indications are that possibly could happen late Saturday, early Sunday. But we're still early in the forecast. There's room for change here. So we'll keep an eye on it for you because that's what we try to do. We try to have you covered, all right? And it's never too early to get some of the things that you might need. Consider what life would be like if you lost power for, let's just say, you know, round figure 4 or 5 days. You know, what do you have to get you through that tough time? So we'll keep an eye on Tropical Storm Aaron for you, part of our tropical weather updates, thanks to our friends at Radiant Credit Union. One dead, others injured. Explosion at a U.S. steel plant in Pennsylvania. This is a U.S. steel Clairton Coke Works plant in Pennsylvania. The folks, they reported there that maybe up to 10 people had been hurt and taken to local hospitals. Allegheny County officials reported that 9 people had been taken to the hospital. One person was also reported to be dead. One person was reportedly rescued. Another person was reported to be unaccounted for. So, again, those numbers, unfortunately, could change. Senator John Fetterman expressed that he and his team were tracking the situation, awaiting additional information. And they say that early reports are fire at the plant started around 10:51 a.m., and they had not yet identified the cause of the blasts. So at a news conference, Scott Buckaso, U.S. Steel's chief manufacturing officer, did not give details about the damage or casualties, said they were still trying to determine what happened. He said U.S. Steel employees did a great job of going in and rescuing workers, shutting down gases, and making sure the site was stable. So, again, one of those things to keep an eye on, and a terrible tragedy. Here we go back to the racist stuff. Yeah, Princeton professor this time, Eddie Glaude Jr. on Monday on MSNBC. I mean, nobody's really watching it. I guess just the fact I'm reporting this probably reaches a larger audience than they do normally.
That's probably true.
Look, the shortcut is he believes the United States is, you know, that people believe. And he believes specifically President Donald Trump and his minions believe the United States is a white republic.
Where do they get all this garbage? My goodness.
It's white.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also red.
Yeah.
It's also blue.
That's the way.
Red, white, and blue.
Absolutely.
Those are the colors we see.
Yes.
Some folks want to get all hamstrung and crazy about color. And, you know, look, in this case, this is nothing but ugly politics that is wrong. And people are going to come out of the woodwork, and they've decided that somehow calling Trump a racist is going to help, and to help them, Democrats. And maybe it did a little, maybe in 16, maybe a little in 20, maybe.
But then people have seen his actions.
Right.
Those communities that they're speaking for have seen his actions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Professor went on to say the Trump administration, they reject the idea of America and as being on the road to being a more perfect union. They reject more perfect union talk. Why? Because MAGA evangelical vision of American civil religion proposes that the victory was won in the founding. All you do need to do is restore and conserve. No, we know America has moved forward in very positive ways, and we should all be proud of that. But instead, they're the ones that want to take you back in time to a much uglier time. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up next on 97.3 The Sky.